All right. I do appreciate the opportunity tonight. I told Brother Sellers I need to speak. But if it's all right with Brother Sellers, I'm just going to go the direction the Lord has laid on my heart to go tonight. It'll be a little different, than maybe what you perhaps maybe are used to, maybe you've seen, maybe you've not. But I really feel like that this is the direction the Lord had me go in tonight. As I said, I was privileged and honored. The Lord honored me to allow me to pastor two different churches, and it was an honor for me to do that. And as a pastor, I know what pastors go through and difficulties of life and different things. And so tonight, I want to take and use Moses' life in Deuteronomy chapter 34 tonight. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to put all this together. I've been trying to work on it and been trying to work on it again this afternoon, and then the Lord sends in a different direction. So we'll just go and see how God blesses and what God does tonight. But I do want to thank you again. Thank Brother Sellers. He's been a friend, but not only that, he's been a pastor to me and my family. We needed a pastor, and the Lord allowed us to come here. And he's been a great friend and a great pastor. And as I said this morning, I'll say some other things. I'm not here. We're here to exalt the Lord. But in doing so, I believe we ought to be able to say some things about the man of God that's here at the church, that pastors this church and leads this church. And I hope that God will allow me to do that in a way that will reverence him and also the church and encourage you tonight. If you know the story of Moses, you'll find that his life started in the book of Exodus when he was born. And they placed him in the Nile River around the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and brought him in and to raise him into the palace there. As he was growing older and growing up, he seen some abuse of his brethren. And understand this, he seen some abuse of his brethren, some Jews. And he didn't like what was going on, so he ended up killing one of the Egyptians there and had to flee for his life. He was on the backside of the mountain there, mind his own business, when God came and spoke to him, and God called him to lead the nation of Israel out of bondage and out of captivity. And as you progress on up, you'll find it was in Numbers chapter 20 that Moses, as he was leading the nation of Israel, and I often used to say that they must have been a bunch of Baptists back there and that he was leading that day. But he got angry when God told him to speak to the rock the second time. The first time they needed water, God said, strike the rock. And water came forth. The second time, God said to him to speak to the rock and allow the water to come forth. And because of the people and because of his anger at the people, Moses disobeyed God. And he struck the rock the second time. And the rock is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was only going to die one time for the sins of the world, not twice, but once. And God said to Moses, because of your disobedience, you'll no longer lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. But here at the end of his life in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we see that God was so gracious to Moses that he took him up on Mount there in the mountain, and he showed him in verse 34, chapter 34, verse 1, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the Mount of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, all through the rest of it, unto Naphtali and the Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost seas, in the south and of the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land. This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. I want to take that thought tonight just for a few moments and speak to you on seeing what you miss. Seeing what you miss in life. You know, there's two places that we spend time as people and as Christians. We either spend time in the valleys and we spend time on the mountaintops. There's usually not much in between the valleys and the mountaintops. And when people are in the valley, it usually produces times of fear, times of rebellion, times of grumbling, and times of sorrow. And usually when we're in the valley, it's when we're rebelling against God and being disobedient. And here the nation of Israel had rebelled against God. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, you'll find that they had just 11-day journey from Horeb down to Kadesh Barnea, just 11 days. And yet it took them 40 years to get to where God wanted them to be because of their disobedience and because of their grumblings and their complainings. I said to someone, and I said it this morning in our Sunday school class, I'm not a big fan of Facebook, never have been. I don't know how to get on it. Don't know how to even produce a Facebook page. I couldn't get on it or produce one if somebody asked me. But I feel like if we use it as a good tool, it could be something good. But most of the time, people get on Facebook and they air their complaints and their grumblings and all the bad things that are going on and the things they don't agree with and things that they don't like. And usually that's what keeps us in the valleys. It's because until we get to a place in our lives that we are willing to turn back to the Lord and turn our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never come out of the valleys. We'll stay in the valley as long as we disobey God, as long as we try to do it our way and go the way that we want to go, we'll never get out of the valleys. The reason our churches are in valleys today, God wants us on the mountaintop, folks. I believe that with all my heart. God had a plan for Moses to lead the nation of Israel, not just to the promised land, but into the promised land. But because of Moses' disobedience, he didn't get to do that. But God showed him. And I wonder sometimes in our lives as we get through life and we go through life, but when it comes our time to die and we get to heaven, if God won't show us some things that we really missed because we were just disobedient. We wanted to do it our way, not God's way. I want to say tonight, very quickly tonight, and as I said, I'll go in a different direction. It might not fit, but at the end we hope it does, okay? I just want to share my heart tonight. As I said, I was fortunate to pastor for one church almost 30 years, not quite as long as Brother Sellers has been here. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of ups and downs as a pastor. There's a lot of ins and outs. But most of the time, the church does not even know it. Most of the time, the church doesn't even see it. Because the pastor, if he's the right kind of pastor, he's not going to let you see it. He's going to keep it to himself and between him and God. And he's going to keep going on. And what you expect and I expect out of our pastors when he comes through the doors, have a big smile on his face, a song in his heart, an excitement in his steps. And sometimes as pastors, that's hard to do. I mean, we do it, but it's hard to do. Sometimes we're good at faking things sometimes. It's not about faking that we love God and that we want to serve God, but we're not always in the right mood to come in with a song in our hearts and a smile on our face. Sometimes there's a lot of difficulties. There's those valleys. And when you're dealing with people in the church that you love, and I say this tonight, I say this with all my heart, I believe this. You folk have been here longer than me. Brother Earl, you've been here a lot longer than me. You would know this better than me. But I do believe that Brother Sellers loves the people. I believe he loves the people with all of his heart. I believe that. I met Nick, every time I hear Nick give a testimony, he talks about the ministry here and how it has impacted his kids. And when they come to the preschool, they learn the Bible verses and things. That's a reflection going back to Pastor Sellers of having a school and willing to put up with the school for this many years, because having a school is not easy. Having a preschool is not easy. You hear all the complaints, all the grumblings. Well, I just want to say tonight that when Nick gets up and someone like Nick gets up and gives a testimony, even though sometimes you can't make out what he's trying to say, he's trying to get it out, but he just don't know how to get it out sometimes, I guess. I don't know. But when he gets finished and he sits down, you understand that he loves this church and he loves Pastor Sellers. He's grateful for the sacrifices so that his family can have a chance to hear the Word of God. People say this often in churches, and you hear this as a pastor. Well, Pastor, I just want to go to a church that has more programs for my kids. Very rarely do you hear people say, I want to go to a church where the pastor preaches the truths of the Word of God so my kids can hear that. It's about programs, and there's nothing wrong with programs, my dear friend, but programs should never replace the Word of God and the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. It'd be great for folks to say, hey, I want to go to a church where the preacher loves his people and he cares about him and he tells him the truth from the Word of God. And as he gets up and he preaches, he proclaims the truths from God's Word. I believe Brother Sellers does that. I believe that every service I've been here, I've listened and I've heard him preach the truths from the Word of God, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You know, sometimes you get along in life and you get in the valley, but then all of a sudden you get out of the valley and you get on the mountaintop and you realize, hey, I had a good pastor. I should have stayed where I was at. I had a good church. I should have stayed where I was at. I had good people in that church that loved the Lord, and I should have just stayed put. My kids had people. They were surrounded by people that loved God and cared about me and my family and cared about us as a family. I should have stayed there. Because I'm here to tell you, those programs won't be there for your family when your family comes to time of need. But a church like this church, Pastor Sellers, I thank God for that tonight. Let me just give you three things tonight about this mountaintop experience. As you get on the mountaintop, what you really get to see and what Moses got to see here, and you'll find out in verse number 10 of chapter 34, it says, and there arose not a prophet since an Israelite unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. You know, since Moses, there's not been another prophet that saw the Lord face to face. There's never been another man of God. There's never been another prophet. There's never been another preacher that saw the Lord face to face. But Moses did. Moses did. You see, when you get up on the mountaintop and you get out of the valley and you quit grumbling, complaining, and griping about everything, and you realize that when you're disobedient, that God's going to chastise you as he did Moses. But we ought to have the attitude that Moses had. We ought to accept his chastisement. And we ought to realize that, hey, it's for our own good that he is chastising us. And when we get out of the valley and up on the mountaintop, there's three things that we'll see. Number one, we're going to see God's plan more clearly than we've ever seen it before. Everybody wants to find and know the plan of God for their life. God has a plan and purpose for every life here. When you're up on the mountaintop, you can see it down in the valley, but it's always cloudy because we're always griping and complaining. We're always focused on ourselves. Look what we're going through. Look what's happening to me. But when we get on the mountaintop and we realize that God has chastised us for being disobedient for our own good, and we get up on the mountaintop with him, we can see his plan much more clearly than what we can in the valleys. Secondly, not only will we see his plan more clearly, if you go back to that, you'll find that if you look and study Joseph's life, Joseph could not figure out God's plan, but God had a plan for him. God said to him, gave him a vision, gave him a dream, and said, everybody's going to bow down and make obeisance to you. He couldn't understand that when he told his brethren. You find out in that story that he took seven steps down before he went to the throne line. But you stop and look at that story, you find that he had to go to Potiphar's wife, down to Potiphar's house, so he could understand and learn how to rule over a house. Then he had to go down to the jailhouse so he could learn how to rule over a jailhouse. See, he was made ruler in both places. And then God exalted him to the throne line, where he became the ruler over all of Egypt, outside of Pharaoh. See, sometimes we have to go through the valleys because we really can't see the plan of God as clear as we are. And as we go through those hard times and times of difficulty, and then we're exalted to the mountaintop, we can see God's plan much more clearly. God didn't understand why I was going to have to go through what I went through. Brother Sellers said, I don't understand why I had to go through what I've been through over the last 3 years of my life. I probably won't ever understand. But I know this, God has a plan and purpose for my life. And God allowed us to come here, get out of those valleys, get back to the mountaintop so we could see the plan of God more clearly. Secondly, when we're on the mountaintop, we're going to hear God's voice more clearly. You'll not hear the voice of God very clearly down in the valley. Again, you're always focused on self. Why am I having to go through this difficult time? Why am I having this hardship in my life? But when you're on that mountaintop, it's only you and God. You can hear the voice of God so clearly. That's why as Christians, we ought to find a place to get along with God every day. Just get along with God every day so you have a place that God will speak to your heart. You say, how did God speak to me? I can tell you, if you don't read the Bible, He won't ever speak to you. He only speaks through the Word. We speak to Him with my prayer. He speaks to us through this book right here. You say, I've not heard God speak a long time. When's the last time you opened the book and read? You expect Pastor Sellers to do all your studying for you. You expect Pastor Sellers to tell you everything there is to know about. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you want God to speak to you, you have to open the book of Hebrews every day. We're going to hear the voice of God more clearly. There's a guy named Sam. It's a true story, according to what, as I've read. His name was Sam, and he wanted to be close to God. He wanted to stay close to God. And he's at church one night, and he prayed, Lord, I just want to be able to hear your voice clearer than I've ever heard it before. Preacher preached. After he left the altar from praying, asking God to allow him to hear his voice clearer than he ever heard before, he got in his car outside. He was headed home that night, and all of a sudden he heard this voice say, I want you to stop at this store. So he pulled over and stopped at this store and got out of his car and went in, and he said he heard a voice say, I want you to go buy a gallon of milk. And he said, I don't drink milk, but I'm going to buy it anyway. There's something going on. So he went in and bought a gallon of milk. Got back in his car, started back, headed to home, and all of a sudden, he turned down a road that he never goes down. It was in a bad area of town. Normally, he wouldn't travel that way at night, but he traveled that way. All of a sudden, he comes to this old raggedy home. And let me tell you, when you go out and sell insurance like I do, and Paul does, and you go into a lot of raggedy homes, a lot of bad homes, a lot of bad places. We was in a home one time, me and Nicole. We was writing a policy for this lady, and listen, it was awful. It was awful. She had cats, birds, dogs, and they had all messed all over the house. She didn't clean it up. And Nicole's doing the policy, an application owner doing a phone interview, and I go out because I got a phone call. And as I was getting off the phone call, she finished up, and she came out, and she said, I'm going to kill you, dude. She thought for sure that he had called me, and I went out to talk to him to get out of that house. But what it was another client that had called, talking to me, wanting me to come back to their house and do an app. But we've been in some awful places. This guy said, I stopped there and looked and said, man, it's an awful place. But it's like this voice said, I want you to go up there. I want you to knock on that door. He said, all right, I'm going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. So he got out of his car. He went up there, and just about the time he was going to knock on the door opened up. This guy opened the door, and he was startled. He said, what in the world are you doing? Who are you? What are you doing here at my house? He said, I'm not sure, but he said, I believe God told me that I need to bring this gallon of milk by the milk. The guy looked at it and he started crying. He grabbed the milk. He said, you won't do this. But for the last 2 days, me and my wife are on our knees praying that God send us some milk for the baby. We've been out for 2 days. See, when you get up on the mountaintop, nothing else is distracting you. That's when you can hear the voice of God so very clearly. There'll be no doubt that it's the voice of God. Then there's a third thing you find on the mountaintop. You always feel the presence of God more closely. You always feel the presence of God more closely than you're up on the mountaintop. There's nothing like being in the very presence of Holy God. Nothing like it at all. Matter of fact, I would say to you this evening that the best place that you could spend time is in the presence of God. If you study the Bible, you'll find that there's been times that even Bible characters have walked outside the presence of God. Jacob wrestled with God and said God was here, and he knew it not. And he knew it not. The Bible said those two Emmaus Road disciples, as they was walking, just talking to God, God was speaking to them. He said, surely that was the Lord. We knew it not. It's an awful thing to have God walking close to you and not know that he's there. But when you're up on that mountaintop and there's no complaints, there's no grumblings, and there's no self-centered ways, you're just there along with God, you'll be in his presence like never before. It'll be a different feeling in your life. I know this tonight that you're not saved by feelings. I understand that. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. It sure does feel good when you know that you're in the presence of the Holy God. It feels awfully good. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God doesn't look out and look down and want evil to happen to us. God's not trying to get even. Our tendency and my tendency, I said this morning, it's sad to say, but my personality is, hey, somebody hurts me, I'm going to hurt them back. I know no one else thinks that way in here, but that's the way I think. I've had to fight that through the years to give it to God, because God does a better job of taking care of things than what we can. But you know, Moses didn't do that. Moses took the discipline of God. And he took the chastisement of the Lord. And because he did not get angry, see, sometimes when the pastor comes along and he disciplines the people in the church or talks to people in the church in a way that you're not going the right way, they get angry. They get resentful. And they go out in a different direction. But Moses didn't do that. He realized the mistake that he made. He realized the wrong that he had committed. He realized that he had disobeyed God. And so God takes him up. He doesn't plead with God to be able to go into the promised land, but God takes him up and lets him view that way. View that way. I don't know about you, but I'd rather spend time on the mountaintop than in the valleys. Valley's not a very good place to be. We've all been there, and we probably spend more time in the valley than we do in the mountaintop. And I say this to you tonight, Brother Sellers has said it the last several weeks in reference in one way or the other, is that you're either in a valley tonight, you're either coming out of a valley, or you're leaving the mountaintop going back into a valley. It's a cycle that we go through. It's a cycle. When we get to the place that we just love God, we understand that he loves us, we can be like Moses. Moses was taken up on that mountain, and three things happened to him. He saw the plan of God most clearly. More clearly than he ever saw before. He understood that he was able to hear the voice of God clearer than ever before. And thirdly, he understood that he was in the presence of God closer than he'd ever been before. The Bible says this about Moses in that verse 10. And it says this, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And the Lord knew face to face. Can you imagine being that close to God? If Moses could get that close, I believe we can. We just have to be willing to accept the discipline of God with the right heart attitude. We just need to be able to do that. You know, I'm often reminded, and this is the part that I'm just going to take off if it's okay with the sellers and go in a different direction here. I'm often reminded of the story of the prodigal father. In the Bible, the prodigal son. And most preachers talk more about the prodigal son than anything else when they speak of that story in the book of Luke there. Very few preachers talk about the brother. Yet the brother was the one that needed the most help in that story. But you know, I look at it this way. I look at it that when the prodigal son, the Bible said he was there in the hog's pen, and he was eating the same thing that those hogs were eating. And I believe he was down in that muck and mire. He was filthy. I believe he stunk. Didn't smell very good. Probably as bad as that house that we was in that day before. But you know, the Bible said that he came to himself. He said, "How many hired servants does my father have?" He said, "I'll just go to him." He said, I'm no more worthy to be your son. I'm just going to be like one of your servants." The Bible said that he got up and you can hear different things, and I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not a theologian, but I do not believe he went and cleaned himself up. I believe he got right out of the hog's pen and he headed toward home. When the father looked up and seen him, he went out. The Bible said he ran out and fell on him and embraced him and kissed him. Kissed him. He didn't care what the boy smelled like. He didn't care what the boy looked like. He didn't care what had happened in the past. He was just glad that his son had made it home. Had made it home. And so I look at that and I say sometimes we in our churches, we fail to embrace the attitude of trying to encourage people. And I believe that's one of the biggest downfalls in our churches across America is a lack of encouraging one another. So I want to do something a little different tonight. I hope it's okay. If not, Brother Sellers will chastise me afterwards. And it'll be worth the chastisement. Nick said something the other night when he gave a testimony. It's been the other night. It's probably been back in towards Mother's Day, I guess it was. I remember I always sit over here. And I do listen to what goes on. I'm used to doing that as a pastor. I listen to what people say. I try to learn from everybody. And Nick was talking about his mom. And he made this statement. He said, now I'm not going to run over and hug her right now because we just don't do that. We just don't do that. I thought that night that would have been the exact thing he should have done. How many of you agree with that tonight? So here's what I want you to do tonight. I'm going to have Brother Sellers, Miss Sellers come to the front, stand at the front. And I want you to come by and let them know how much you appreciate them, that you love them, that you care about them. You know, preacher needs that. Preacher's wife needs that. So I love them. Come and show it. Just give them a hug. Give them a kind word. It'd be good, maybe you're whispering, Pastor Sellers here, Brother Sellers, we're here. And we're going to fight with you until the very end to do something big and great for the cause of Christ. It's not about a message. It's about what we're willing to do or not do. He said, that's just not my personality. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. If he would come and hug up on his prodigal son, don't you think we ought to hug each other and let each other know we care about him tonight? I mean, when you stop and think about it tonight, I mean, it's a good thing for husbands and wives to hug each other once in a while. That's a good thing. It's good to hug your kids. I mean, listen, when I pastored, I used to, at every invitation, every little boy and girl in our church used to run up down on the platform here and give me a hug. And I look forward to that every Sunday night. I mean, every kid, every Sunday night in our church, it made me feel good that, hey, and I used to say this, when they become teenagers, they'll hate me. They love me as kids, but when they become teenagers and you get on to them and you try to help them and guide them and direct them and point them in the right way, they think they know more than you know. But tonight I'd ask that you might do that tonight. Maybe not just tonight, but day by day. That you'd make a commitment by coming that you say, I'm going to be praying for my church and my pastor's family. You see, the pastor's family's been in the ministry long time. It's not an easy place to be for kids. Kind of jokingly, people say PKs, PKs, PKs. It's not a joking matter if you ask the kids. It's not a joking matter. They see the heartache that mom and dad go through. They see the disappointments, the heart that breaks and aches. You say, well, they're preacher's kids. They get away with everything. They sacrifice more than any other family, you know, I guarantee you that. because I've been there and my kids have been there. I know that. So I'm going to ask you just to stand by your head. Brother Sellers, Miss Sellers, if you would just come and stand right here tonight, if you would, please. And I'm going to pray tonight. And after I get through praying, I'm just going to ask you, if you're willing to come, let them know you appreciate them, that you care about them tonight. I believe it'd be a help to them and encouragement to them and encouragement to yourself and to our church. So let me pray tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the life of Moses. Lord, we thank you for the mountaintop experiences that you give us and things that you let us see. Lord, help us not miss out on your blessings. Help us not miss out on the finer things of life that you want to give us by being disobedient. I pray for our church tonight. Lord, this is my church. Brother Sellers is my pastor. I pray tonight that you'd help us as a church to respond and come by and just be an encouragement, Brother Sellers, Miss Sellers tonight. Help them to lift up their spirits, to know that we're behind them and we're here for them, and we're willing to march on with them for the cause of Christ and see some great, mighty things, as you tell us in the book of Jeremiah, that we know not. So I just pray that you'd meet every need and every heart and every life tonight that's here, that you'd bless. Help us as we come by tonight to do that which you would want us to do. Lord, that you'd bless our lives in a very special way. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're willing to come, some are already here, just come on by and shake their hand tonight. Hug their neck. Let them know you're glad, you love them, you appreciate them tonight. If you're willing to do that, just come on out tonight.